Let's take our Bibles and turn to Revelation chapter 5. In Revelation 4, John sees God the Father seated on his throne, and he hears the host of heaven offering him continual worship. And then in Revelation chapter 5, John narrows his focus to a scroll in God's right hand and a subsequent search for the one qualified to take the scroll, open its seals, and reveal its message. Let me read for you the first 8 verses of Revelation chapter 5. And I saw on the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within, and on the backside sealed with 7 seals. And I saw an angel, strong angel, proclaiming with a loud voice, "Who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof?" And no man in heaven nor on earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. And I wept much because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. And one of the elders saith unto me, "Weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the 7 seals thereof." And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the 4 beasts and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb as it had been slain, having 7 horns, 7 eyes, which are the 7 spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. And when he had taken the book, the 4 beasts and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. Now, as we've just read, when Christ took the scroll, and some people believe this is the deed for the earth, as he took the scroll, the 4 living creatures who are cherubim, and who are cherubim but exalted, an exalted order of angels, frequently associated in Scripture with God's holy power, and the 24 elders who are human representatives of the church, fall down before the Lamb in worship, which is a clear evidence that Christ is God. For heavenly beings would never worship anything less than God. And with harps, and harps are used in Scripture as instruments used to praise and adore God, and with golden vials or bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints, this heavenly host sings a new song. They sing this new song to the Lamb, celebrating what? His redemptive work. Notice verses 9 and 10. And they sung a new song, saying, "Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain, and hast redeemed us unto God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation." Now, the word "new" here means new in the sense of nature. And it refers to something previously unknown and unprecedented, which makes the point Christ's accomplishment and redemption is superior in value to the Old Testament sacrifices and covenant. And so the thinking here behind the response of these heavenly beings is a new and finished work of redemption calls for a new song. Ladies and gentlemen, there always should be a new song, a song different from the world's song, when you've been redeemed. And these beings, these heavenly creatures, understood or understand what Jesus Christ has accomplished, and so they sing for him a new song. And this song reveals 5 wonderful truths regarding the Lamb, regarding the one who is the Redeemer. And the first truth is, these 5 wonderful truths, the first truth is the Redeemer Lamb is worthy to open the sealed scroll on the basis of his sacrifice. As we read, or as we read in verse 9, he was slain, which has opened the way for worldwide redemption. I say, what a truth. Worldwide redemption. Truth number 2 is the Redeemer, the Lamb, has paid the ransom price through his blood and has redeemed us unto God by his blood, which makes it possible for God's grace and God's mercy to be manifested to all mankind. God's grace, unmerited favor, God giving us what we do not deserve, God's mercy, withholding what we do deserve. Through his blood, this grace, this mercy is manifested to you and me. I say, what a truth. Do we find a similar truth any place else in the universe? I say not. Truth number 3 is a representative group out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation has been and will be redeemed. I say, what a truth. I'm half Sweden, half Norwegian. I'm glad the Scandinavians were included. Amen? What a truth. Truth number 4 is God has taken these redeemed ones and formed the Church of Jesus Christ and called its membership a royal kingdom and has made unto us and has made us unto our God kings and priests. I say, what a truth. Remember in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people that he has called out of darkness into his marvelous light. Think about it. We're not just priests, but we're kings. We're not just kings, but we're priests. We are a royal priesthood. You say, well, I don't have any blue blood in you. Yes, you do. You're a royal priest. And God, through his Son, has deemed that so. And then truth number 5 is this body of believers will rule and reign on earth with Christ during the millennial kingdom. I say, what a truth. That we will rule and reign with Jesus Christ. I mean, what did we deserve to rule and reign with him? So no wonder a new song is in order. Now, in light of these amazing truths, John then sees heaven break out in praise to the Lamb who has done all of this for his creation. Notice verse 11. And I beheld and heard the voice of many angels round about the throne and the beasts and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands. The point here is the number is incalculable. And what do they do? What do they say with loud voice? Well, verse 12 says, this heavenly host offers a sevenfold symphony of praise to the Lamb that was slain. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain, and here is the first aspect of this sevenfold symphony of praise to receive power. John is telling us Jesus is worthy to receive recognition because of his power, his omnipotence, which is a power to create this universe, which is a power to maintain an orderly universe, which is a power over demons, which is a power over disease, which is a power over death. In Christ, in fact, Christ said, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. When it says all power, it means all power. Again, Jesus is worthy because of his power. Ladies and gentlemen, talking about a God with power. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power. Second, he is worthy to receive recognition because of his riches. His spiritual, his material riches. After all, he owns everything. But how generous he is. For he it is who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. Every good and every perfect gift comes through him. And so he is worthy. One of the beautiful things about someone who maybe the Lord has blessed financially is they're generous with what the Lord has blessed them with financially. You know, that's almost rare. It seems the more some people have, the less they want to share. Now, the government wants us to share, amen? But how beautiful it is to see the example of Jesus Christ. Ladies and gentlemen, he shares his wealth with us. Don't ever think, don't ever give yourself an opportunity to have a pity party because you don't think you have as much as someone else. Ladies and gentlemen, in Jesus Christ, you are rich beyond understanding. And so he is worthy. He enables us to enjoy true wealth. Third, he is worthy to receive recognition because of his wisdom, his omniscience. And his is a wisdom he is glad to share. For Christ has made unto us wisdom. He is our wisdom from God. From God we can gain our wisdom. So we look to him for wisdom, which needs to be all the time. We can ask of God who always gives to us liberally, and so he is worthy. Honestly, get in a habit, and it's a wonderful habit to get into, to regularly, chronically throughout the day, to be asking God for wisdom. I'll tell you, you won't get too far afield when you are continually in touch with the living God and saying, Lord, I need wisdom. I need understanding. I need to know what you want me to say. I need to know when I need to just keep my mouth shut. Words can be so powerfully destructive, or they can be so powerfully healing. And I've dispensed both. Get in a habit to ask the Lord for wisdom. And what in essence are you asking him? Lord, I want your will. I want your direction. I want your path of life. I think it's always so helpful in our understanding the dependency that we need to understand we must have upon God. When we get into situations, when we know we are in situations where we don't have the understanding to understand how to get out of those or how to solve these situations or these trials or these problems. And I know I'm kind of talking in circles here, but thank God for opportunities that you have to recognize you need His wisdom. You need His understanding. Fourth, He is worthy to receive recognition because of His strength, again, His omnipotence. I think it must be significant that worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power, then to receive strength. Maybe the Lord wants to remind us that He is our strength, that He is our power, that He is that very present help in time of trouble. Psalm 24:8 refers to Christ in His coming to this earth as at His second advent as the King of glory, the Lord, strong and mighty. He is also called here the Lion of the tribe of Judah, who has prevailed, who has overcome, to open the book, to loose the seals thereof, the deed to the earth. Jesus is worthy, and His strength. And through His strength, He also enables us to be able to say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Ladies and gentlemen, by God's grace, young people, you can do what's right because of the strength that God, through His Son, can give to you. And then fifth, He is worthy to receive recognition because of His honor. And what is honor? It's distinction, it's standing, it's worth. Psalm 8 verse 5 tells us He is crowned with honor. Psalm 104 verse 1 tells us He is clothed with honor. He's crowned with honor, He's clothed with honor. He is honored, He is honorable. I mean, every part of Him declares he is a being that is to be honored. And so He is worthy. And then sixth, He is worthy to receive recognition because of His glory. Now, when our Lord was here on earth, He exhibited this divine glory, both in His character and in His acts. And in John's Gospel in particular, chapters 1, 2, 11, and 17, we see His glory manifested. I love what John 1 verse 14 says, and we beheld His glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And this was a glory seen in Christ raising Lazarus from the dead. This is a glory that Christ had from eternity past that the Father had given to Him. And so He is worthy. And then seventh, He is worthy to receive recognition because of His blessing. And to bless means to make happy. And Jesus is the one who truly makes us happy. It's not the Duck Dynasty that makes us happy, happy, happy. And you might enjoy that, and that's fine. He makes us happy. He truly fills our hearts with joy. And so we say, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. And so He is worthy. And so He is worthy to be praised. I say He is worthy. And then after this initial doxology seen in verses 11 and 12, the praise emanating from heaven builds to a crescendo of worship as every creature in the universe gives, verse 13, blessing, honor, glory, and power unto Him, God the Father, that sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb, and here we see Christ. And that is done forever and ever, which makes the point every creature, including the demonic world and the unsaved humanity, will ultimately praise Christ as Lord. Remember Philippians 2, verses 9 through 11, wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow of things in heaven, things on earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is what? Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Psalm 69, verse 34, let the heaven and earth praise him, the seas and everything that moveth therein. Psalm 150, verse 6 adds, let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. And so we see here a fourfold expression of praise. Endless blessing, endless honor, endless glory, endless power, endless power, which means dominion. In other words, endless worship that belongs to God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, which all means creation is unable to contain its joy over its imminent redemption. We worship the Lamb that was slain. Can I say it this way? If these songs that we have just heard and some of the songs we were able to sing ourselves, if there wasn't a sense of worship as you sang, you don't understand your redemption. When you truly know you've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, there will be a sense of worship to this worthy one. And you won't need drums and guitars to bring it to pass. There will be a spontaneous expression of praise to your God, to your Redeemer. Ladies and gentlemen, do we understand what it means to be redeemed? Do we understand what it means to have our names written in the Lamb's Book of Life? Do we understand what it means to be saved from the wrath, the judgment of the living God? In Jesus Christ, there is therefore no more condemnation. We are heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Don't have a pity party. You are blessed beyond all measure. Creation, again, is unable to contain its joy over its imminent redemption. And then, lost in wonder, love, and praise, the four living creatures continue to say, Amen. And what does Amen mean? It means, let it be. Make it happen. And then the 24 elders fall down and once again worship him that liveth forever and ever. I ask the question, who is this one? Well, the angels told the shepherds on the night of Jesus' birth, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And might our response be an angelic response as we say, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Last week we noticed or we studied that Jesus is a wonderful Savior. Tonight we have seen, hopefully, that Jesus is a worthy Savior. He's a wonderful Savior. He's a worthy Savior. And might each of us be able to say, He's my Savior. He has redeemed me by his blood. And I say, worthy is this Lamb. Father, I pray that you will give us a big understanding of how wonderful Jesus Christ truly is. Lord, I think too often we have such a small vision and understanding of who God, who Christ truly is. And Lord, how we just simply, as far as our salvation is concerned, it really has little or no bearing on how we live. The response of our heart's response to you. Lord, I pray that we'll have hearts that truly love the Savior, that we'll see that he is full and he is worthy, and we give him the worth that he deserves in our worship, in our praise, in our service, in our testimony of who he is to this lost and dying world. Help us to go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ was born to save us from our sin. How significant that is. Impress upon our hearts this truth. In Jesus' name, amen.